Hello and welcome to the second annual Women's Leadership Excellence Forum. On behalf of Capstone Performance Solutions Incorporated and Women in Manufacturing Georgia, we are excited to be here with you today as we celebrate Women in Excellence. I am your host, Amanda Pierce.
I'm Dr. Tina Woodard, the founder of Capstone Performance Solutions, Inc.
All right, Dr. Tina, we are here today at a fantastic Day of Excellence, celebrating not only women in leadership, but with an emphasis on women in manufacturing. Women in Manufacturing Georgia chapter is actually putting on this event today in conjunction with Capstone Performance Solutions. And we just concluded the first half of the session where you had a large role in leading the discussion. So for those who did not participate, kind of give us a recap of what the first half of the day was like.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak about what this day has meant so far. What I'm seeing is a room full of women, and there are some men present as well, really opening up and talking about some of their challenges, some of their opportunities that they're experiencing in their career. We're talking about psychological safety and how leaders may go about establishing that within their organizations. We're also talking about the power of a network, and that is having a tribe of people whom you trust that you can open up and really be vulnerable with. Mm. We want to make sure that we have mentors who are supporting us and providing guidance to us in our careers as well to help us move from one level to the next level. And I started the morning by sharing my leadership excellence model that I've been researching for the past 12 years, both formally and informally, through working with leaders, hundreds of leaders across the country at every level and in various sectors. And I've been asking them this one question: what is leadership excellence to you? I know through research what the data says effective leadership looks like, but sometimes what's in the research and the theories doesn't actually translate to our day-to-day leadership and how we enact that. So we've been talking about this leadership excellence model, and I've been using the metaphor of the redwood trees because that is an opportunity I had when I was a little girl to hear about it from my father, Carnell Collins, but then I had the opportunity 12 years ago in 2012 to actually travel to Muir Woods National Park and experience those redwoods for myself. And what I noticed is there are so many connections in terms of the forest and the ecosystem and how the trees have adapted over time. They're the oldest trees in the world. Yes. So we've been using that as a metaphor for the leadership excellence model. So that's just a synopsis of what we've been talking about so far today.
I love a good analogy, and I was there for that piece of your presentation and that gorgeous picture of the redwood with the root system that was towering, you know, it's hundreds of feet in the air.
Yes.
That brings me to another parallel of talking about the relativity of roots or trees to growth. You mentioned a network being important, and not only for women in this industry, but as a whole. What would you say is one of the most remarkable things that you've seen about women in leadership over the past decade?
I would say it's our tenacity. And I'll say that because, you know, the data shows us that women are the most educated in the population, right? So it's just the facts, right?
It's just the facts.
We're the most educated. And when you think about the number of hats that women wear, one of our panelists this morning, she's a data analyst at a major corporation. We're here at AGCO, and she's a data analyst. And then she just let it slip in there, oh, and by the way, I have four children. So to have a significant leadership role, and I'm sure she has significant responsibilities as a mother of four. And to be able to effectively juggle all of that and to do it with a smile on her face and joy in her spirit.
Right.
I think that is what I'm seeing in women, that we're able to manage multiple priorities, both personally and professionally. I heard another panelist this morning, Rachel, shared how at one point in her career, she was willing to take on not two, but three jobs, three wow. roles at one time to prove that she was a willing team player, to prove that she had the technical prowess to be able to contribute value yes. to the organization. And her willingness to do that, her saying yes to that opportunity, really propelled her career. Mm-hmm. So I think our ability to pursue and not give up, to be really resilient like the redwood trees,
yes.
That's what I'm seeing in terms that's of how right. women's roles and achievements are just evolving tremendously.
I'd like to rewind because I just shook the hand of a very astute young woman whom I believe is related to you.
If you're talking about Lauren Woodard, yes, she is related to me. That is my eldest daughter.
Okay. So I believe I overheard her saying she was an engineer.
Yes, she is.
So you are even more deeply rooted in the women in manufacturing of Georgia than we know.
So since we're talking about trees today, I'll say they say the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Yes. And so that's what you see in both my daughters. My other daughter is not here today, but she is an engineer also. And my career, I started as an engineer. I graduated from Clemson University with a degree in industrial engineering, and I worked in the manufacturing sector for 8 years. Prior to changing my career into human resources. And what I was able to do, my husband and I, in raising our daughters, we always encourage them to go after their dreams, no matter where those dreams might take them. And I'm pretty sure that as we tutored them in their academic studies regarding math and science, we know how important that is. And so I would say, yes, we gently nudge them to pursue a career that would allow them to be self-sustaining mm-hmm. because we want them to be fully functional adults. And they explore those careers. And for example, my eldest daughter always had a love for design and drawing, and she loved watching the home decorating mm-hmm. shows. And she eventually said, "Mom, I think I want to major in architecture." Mm-hmm. I said, "Okay. Well, if that's what you want to do, let's get you some information about it. Let's expose you to it." So we began taking her on college campus visits, and we went to the University of Alabama. Roll Tide. You have to say that. And she had an opportunity to sit privately with a civil engineering professor. So this is the power of mentoring, right? She sat with him for nearly an hour, and he asked her what motivated her to major in architecture. And so she began to tell him what she wanted to accomplish by majoring in architecture. And he began to really share some insights with her about what she wanted to do was really more closely aligned with civil engineering and, concentrating in structures. Hmm. And he said, you would be able to do more of what you love if you major in civil engineering. And that was pivotal for her, because at that moment she said, "Mom, I think I agree with him. I want to do more of what I love. And if that's civil engineering, then I'm going to pursue that." So that's how she became a civil engineer. And something else that we heard on our panels this morning was the importance of internships. Mm-hmm. So my daughter, her sophomore year at Georgia Southern University, she sought out an internship. And a company in Gwinnett hired her as a summer intern, civil engineering. Mm-hmm. She was able to really start applying a lot of the theories she was learning in school to her actual work mm-hmm. during her internship. And then the summer after that, she returned to that company. And the summer after that, she was hired at another construction company, a major construction company in Georgia, and they offered her a full-time job before she returned for her senior year.
Amazing.
So that points to the importance of knowing your passion and knowing what degree programs align with your passion, and then getting work experience in that. Even while you're in school pursuing that degree, get the work experience so that it will set you up for your career. And she is thriving at her company now. Mm,
congratulations to her. And as you said, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You mentioned the importance of knowing your passion. Your original bout in industrial engineering and now into HR. And in getting to speak with you, I can tell so much that you are a people person. So I know how that falls into it. But I'm curious how the two relate.
Yes, yes. So my interest was piqued in engineering in high school when my high school calculus teacher came to me and said, Tina, you're really great in math and science. He said, I really think you should consider a career in engineering. And he actually had a chemical engineer come speak to our calculus class. And he began to tell us the type of work that he was doing and, you know, what engineering is like. And I wasn't really sure at that point what I wanted to do or what my passions were. So I said, okay, I'll try engineering. And so I majored in that at Clemson University. I even, you know, worked some internships. And what I started noticing during my internships was, although I could do the work, technically it wasn't difficult for me, mm-hmm. but it wasn't as fulfilling as I thought a career might be. But I didn't want to not complete my degree. I was a junior, third-year student.
Yeah.
Yes. So I had committed, and I didn't want to waste my parents' money. So I said, I will complete my degree and work while I'm gaining a master's in something that I really am passionate about. And that's exactly what I did. I finished and I got a job working in manufacturing as a quality engineer for a major global company, and was able to discover my passion because my best friend at the time was a trainer for BMW. Uh-huh. When they were building their new facility in my hometown.
South Carolina? And,
yes, Duncan, South Carolina. And she would tell me some of the things that she was doing every day at work. It's like, I'm training a group of employees on this, I'm teaching that. I'm like, how do you teach for corporate America?
Uh-huh.
And that piqued my interest. I learned about human resource development and returned to Clemson University and earned a master's degree in human resources development and then changed careers from engineering into HR. But
wow.
I'll have to share with you, I made that change while I was still working in manufacturing, and it points to mentoring again. Because my manager at the time, the quality manager that I was working for, mm-hmm. I shared my career aspiration with him. I said, I know I can do engineering, but I'm not as fulfilled as I would like to be. He said, then tell me exactly what you want to do. And I told him my passion for training and development. He said, well, Tina, you're a supplier quality engineer. You travel around the country auditing our suppliers, and you know where their strengths are and where their weaknesses are. Why don't you create a training program and train them on our quality standards?
Wow, that is a wonderful story. It sounds like you have an eye for quality mentors, or the good Lord has put them in your family's life.
Yes.
I'd like to end with asking you the question that you asked the ladies before. What is leadership excellence to you?
Leadership excellence to me starts with knowing yourself. So the self-awareness piece is absolutely critical. Knowing your strengths, knowing your developmental areas, knowing your triggers, knowing your passion, and knowing your core values, and making sure that your career pursuits align with your core values. Because if you're doing something every day that does not align with your core values, you're not going to be fulfilled, and you're not going to be motivated to do a great job at it. So it's really important to know thyself. Leader, know thyself.
Mm-hmm.
And then understand how your actions impact other people. Because as leaders, our job is to mobilize the efforts of either a small or a large group of people. And if we're leading in such a way that it is disengaging people, mm-hmm. then we're not leading them in a positive way. You know, we've had leaders who've taught us how not to lead, right? So we want to be the type of leader who brings people in, who supports them, who collaborates, who invites feedback, who lifts people up, a leader who has empathy, a leader who considers the entire context of what's going on and then making sound decisions based on that.
Mm.
So I believe there are so many facets to leadership excellence. And my next book that will be coming out later this year is on this very subject of leadership excellence. I will be elucidating my leadership excellence model and explaining and sharing some examples of how I have seen this exemplified quite well, working with the various leaders in different sectors that I've had the great fortune to be able to work with. And then I'll also share quite anonymously those that I have seen derail in some of those areas, because sometimes we learn better when we see things that did not work for others. Well, let me do the opposite.
Right.
It will be a fourth quarter release, so just in time to be a Christmas gift in the stocking. Mm-hmm. The Path.
The Path.
Your journey to leadership excellence.
The Path.
Thank you.
Dr. Tina Woodard, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your passion, and thank you for being a supporter of Women in Manufacturing of Georgia, aka Dr. T.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I enjoyed our conversation.
Much.